Hey guys, it's Jen.
And Terry.
And we are back once again with, guess what, episode number 87. We're getting 80s. There.
Yes.
Yep.
Definitely closing in.
We are, and I don't know why we haven't discussed the gentleman we're talking about today. I'm trying to figure out why we haven't discussed him already. He's iconic. But before we get into all that, have you had any Johnny news, Tom news, any of that?
No.
I have the
big announcement from last week seems to kind of, you know, people are kind of going through the aftershocks of that, you know.
Oh, the where he has a son?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said he had to get back to his son. So we now know that they had a son. We don't know what his name is. I can almost guarantee you it's not a junior. And I'll tell you why.
How come?
One of the quotes that I have that Thomas said is that a child's name should be their own. You know, they should be allowed their own identity and not be forced into one, even with so much as a junior.
And there you go.
So I about guarantee it's not a Tom Hiddleston Jr.
Right.
And
well, I don't think, and it just seems like he wouldn't be that kind of guy, you know, that kind of guy. A lot of guys don't want to do, I mean, that is kind of, it's a little cheesy.
It's kind of presumptuous, and it's a little, what's the word I'm looking for? I never can think of the right word here lately. Presumptuous and just a little over the top, you know, it's a bit grandiose.
Yeah. Some big shoes to fill, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, yeah. Or it's, well, damn, we really couldn't think of anything, so you can just have my name.
Yeah.
maybe it's just the unimaginative parents that do that.
Yes, that's true, but that's not, I'm hoping that he doesn't come up with something weird. You know what I mean? I'm not thinking of a classical name or whatever, but...
Probably not going to happen. Look at his wife's name. Zoe.
Yeah, true.
You know, and her heritage. I'm sure that came into consideration when naming the child as well.
Right.
So, I don't know. I would love to see what they named him. I'm very happy. Congratulations, Tom and Zoe, on your son once again. But now this next piece is a Johnny bit. And it's not really news, but, you know, Barry sends me little clips and stuff and memes and all this stuff all the time about Tom and Johnny. Well, I have an interview clip now of Johnny Depp, and I will post it on the blog. Where is my notebook so I can write this down? But I'll post it on the blog so everybody can see it. But Johnny is talking about when they were recording the movie Platoon. Now, Oliver Stone was the director.
Yeah.
Well, he is, he loves the realism. He wants it real. Well, one of the scenes is a little native girl, and you know, she's supposed to be crying and all this. Well, he wanted it real. He wanted her actually in tears. So, you know, he got up in her face and he went yelling at her and stuff. And Johnny said that he just thought it went on way too long. That, I mean, it was bordering abuse, what he was doing. And,
wow.
You know, they finally put a stop to it, Johnny and a couple of the other actors. Well, later that evening, because Johnny was stewing about it. I mean, it just kept bugging him. It was on his mind. Well, later that evening, they were at the hotel, and he passes the hotel restaurant on the way to the hotel bar. And sees Oliver Stone there with somebody else, and they're sitting at a table directly below the balcony. So Johnny goes up to the top of the balcony, unzips, goes take Mr. Willie out, and something grabbed him by his collar and yanked him off of the edge of the balcony. Johnny's like, what? I'm going to piss on his head. I'm going to piss on him. It's like, no, you can't do that. It was one of the crew members was like, what are you doing, man? Have you lost your fucking mind?
But yeah.
Johnny was going to pee on him. Johnny was going to pee on Oliver Stone.
Yeah, probably a good move.
Oh, yeah. Good move that he got yanked down anyway.
That's exactly right, yes.
But yeah, he's like, I was wasted. It sounded like a good idea at the time.
Sure. You're a big dick.
Woo. So, yeah, I just thought that was funny. Wanted to say something about it. So, yeah, once again, thank you, Barry, for that clip. And send us more. We love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, on to the show. We are talking about one of the most iconic actors today. We've mentioned him several times, but we've never really gone in-depth in discussion. And, of course, I have to be talking about Mr. Keanu Reeves. From lowly, lowly beginnings as Ted in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, we now have John Wick, we have The Matrix, we have just multitudes of iconic roles and characters and movies from Keanu, and we figured it was high time we got to talk about it.
Yeah. What a resume.
And the fact that he still does the small, like the indie films and the small independents, still, he kind of alternates between those and the big budget major roles.
Yeah, you're very Johnny.
Yes, very, very much like Johnny.
Also plays guitar for a band.
Yes, he does. And he actually, he plays, I want to say lead, but I don't think that's it. Because I know Johnny plays rhythm. Or bass, one of the two.
There's bass.
Let's see. Oh, come on. He and Johnny both dropped out of high school. One to become a rock and roll star, one to become an actor.
Yep.
Pretty great. Yep. Darn it. And I had all this noted down, but apparently when I closed my system out, it didn't save my notes. So... all right. Well, you talk about the first movie you ever saw Keanu in while I try to find out what he plays or what type of guitar he plays.
Like what make guitar he plays?
No. Whether he plays rhythm, lead, or drum. Or rhythm, lead, or bass.
I think he's, I'm very, very sure he's bass.
You think he's bass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bass player for Dogstar.
Okay. All right. See, you found it before I did. And I've got his friggin' bio open.
Yeah, and they're pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah. He also owns his own motorcycle company.
Yep. He's, the Arch Motorcycle Company, and he's a serious, serious gearhead when it comes to the motorcycles. He's got a business partner. And they make a great line of about 4 or 5 bikes.
And they do. Those bikes are, they have taken up where the Indian left off. You know, they are known for their longevity, their, just their superior performance. It's just incredible.
They use a lot of like poly ceramic parts, you know, along with the.
Right.
Engines, they're fairly high tech, but they're really, really tough, and they're really fast.
Yeah, super fast, which is not necessarily a good thing. That the scar that he has across his stomach,
yeah,
because he's got a nasty scar across his stomach. I don't know if you've ever noticed it in any of his movies, because they don't cover it up. If he takes his shirt off, you'll see it.
No.
He was on a demon ride in Topanga Canyon and crashed into the side of a mountain. A demon ride is, for those of you who don't know, is a night ride with only the moonlight, no headlights.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. When the paramedics came to get him, now, he was hospitalized with broken ribs and a ruptured spleen, okay? This man was hurt. When the paramedics came to get him, one of the emergency med techs that picked up one end of the stretcher realized who it was on the stretcher and dropped him.
Oh, no.
Kenny said he wanted to laugh so hard, but he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, no, right. His guts were open, but it is kind of funny.
And I mean, that's just him. I mean, he would have been laughing at that.
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, Keanu is a little bit like Tom, too. He tends to be a bit of an overachiever. He could have played professional hockey, not just for one team, for two different Canadian teams. Offered him a position, and he turned them down.
Wow.
Yep. The Canadian League and the Windsor Spitfires, Ontario Hockey League.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, yeah. They actually formed Dogstar because he and the other guy that's the genesis of the group, the guy was wearing a Detroit Red Wings jersey, and they were huge, huge, avid hockey fans, and Keanu played. Like, it's been a very important sport to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, a big part of his early life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of his early life, his best friend, and the man that he still says is his best friend, even though he's been gone for many years, is River Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Which had his last hoorah at, guess where? The Viper Room, the bar that Johnny Depp owned.
Yeah.
Lots of little crossbars.
Yeah, this is, I mean, they've certainly, and I mean, that was an unfortunate, I guess, way to meet if they hadn't met before, but certainly they've at the very least hung out, you know, a fair amount, Keanu and Johnny.
I could see the two of them getting along. I really could. Keanu's more laid back. Then Johnny tends to get a bit tense about things.
Yeah. He does get the headspace.
And Keanu's just like,
psh. With the flow. He's like the
total surf minch.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Which he learned how to surf. Play.
Dad.
Huh?
His dad was Hawaiian, right? He was a Hawaiian. Yeah.
His dad was a combination of Hawaiian, or was it his, it might have been his mom, give me just a second, but,
it was Chinese.
Yeah, which I should have, looking at Keanu in the face, you can see it.
Yeah, Chinese, English, Irish, Portuguese, and Native Hawaiian.
Yeah. But, he is also Lebanese. Not by blood, by birth.
Right.
He was born in Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Beirut. Moved from there at 6 months, moved to Sydney, Australia, lived there until he was three, and then went to the Upper West Side, Manhattan, lived there until he was six, and then moved to Toronto and lived there until he was 21.
Yeah.
So, now his mother was a costume designer for some of the old school rock and roll stars, such as, Alice Cooper, who is in Hollywood Vampires with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, their degrees of separation are super duper close.
Well, yeah, and I'm kind of shocked and surprised that as much of Johnny's personal life is out there, you know, for public consumption. That there are no, like, hardcore images of him and Keanu at a bar or, you know, having dinner or whatever, you know?
Yes.
I'm just kind of surprised there's that I haven't seen. Matter of fact, I can't recall not one that I've seen of the two of them, like, actually hanging out. Doesn't mean I haven't seen it, just means I don't remember it. But, yep. He's also like Tom in the fact that he does not participate in social media because he does not want his social life or his private life to become a social circus.
Yeah, you know, he's got a TikTok that's brilliant. He does TikTok, but it's not him, like, it's a character, if you will. I mean, it's kind of not a character, but it's not, you're not seeing glimpses of his private life.
Exactly. He's not like opening his front door and welcoming you in.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, the comments are turned off. So even if you wanted to, like, TikTok stalk his ass, you couldn't. Because you can't leave comments. You can't. If I'm remembering correctly, the comments area is turned off. And that is probably because, you know, okay. His fans, he loves them. He shows his appreciation every time he gets the chance. The people that don't like him, he understands that too. And, you know, you go your way and I'll go mine. I don't need either one blocking up my TikTok channel.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, his TikToks are pretty great.
Yeah.
Certainly not. You can see he's a very, quote-unquote, he described himself as a private kid.
Yeah.
When he, you know, going through school, he's just a private person. Shia LaBeouf, and it was kind of a famous quote, but when they were working on Constantine together, Shia LaBeouf was his boy Chaz.
Yeah.
You know, Constantine, and he's like, I've worked with this man for a year, and I really don't know him at all.
I don't know anything about him. Yeah.
Yup. And he's always kind of been that way.
Yep. And, well, Keanu got his leaning towards, you know, a little bit of the illegal drugs, honest. His father was actually a geologist who served time in prison for selling heroin at the Hilo airport. All right. I got a question for you, and you probably would not know, but if you think about his movies, you might take a guess.
Okay,
is he right-handed or left-handed?
I think he's right-handed.
Actually? Wrong.
No kidding.
You're half wrong. He writes left-handed. But shoots a gun, performs other actions with his right hand. If you watch The Matrix closely, when he gets the package that Morpheus is on the phone, he signs for the package with his left hand, but takes the phone and holds it to his ear with his right.
Gotcha. Wow. Yep, I see. I'm going to look into that and watch it.
Yeah. It's some of his, some people thought his name was too exotic when he first started acting. So a lot of his earlier films are credited as K, capital K, capital C, Reeves, Norman Creeves, or Chuck Spadina. I have no idea where that came from. But
back in the ear. Wow.
He has remained friends with a lot of his co-stars throughout the years.
Oh yeah. He and Al Winter.
Yep. You know, they auditioned for the opposite role. Alex Winter auditioned for Ted, and Keanu Reeves auditioned for Bill.
Mm-hmm. It really didn't make a difference in the end, but yeah.
Right. I don't know. Some of the comments are, you know, they're strictly, okay, that's a Bill comment. You know, that's a Ted comment.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it until, and I love how we've got a situation where he's gone through 3 decades of this franchise, and I ended up learning a lot about both Bill and Ted. You know, it kind of put in perspective now that they're older, and you're right, it like really helped to kind of, I mean, these are two distinctive characters.
Yes.
You know, you're right. There are certain things that Bill would say.
Yeah.
Have you seen the last Bill and Ted?
Where they come back in as adults?
Yeah.
No, I have not. You got to remember, I haven't had a TV in like decades.
Yeah.
So no, I haven't seen that. I'll have to look it up though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I mean, it was pretty good.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock is another one of his that he considers a very close friend. And you know, he dropped out of Speed too.
Yeah, but they did the Lake House. Was it the Lake House?
They did. Yeah. Was it? Did the two of them? Was that the two of them? Hmm. I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a tearjerker, and it looks like it's incredibly, incredibly...
It was a little convoluted, the plot.
Well, I mean, I get it. You know, it's You Got Mail that time travels. So, yeah.
Right.
But yeah. And I wouldn't have any problem following it, but I just... Romantic comedy's not a thing for me at the moment. And haven't been for a while. He is good friends with Anthony Kiedis.
Hmm.
Which is the lead singer of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Now, he has co-starred with 2 members of Red Hot Chili Peppers in different movies. My Own Private Idaho in 1991... Flea starred in that one.
Right.
And then, of course, Anthony Kiedis was in Point Break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, everybody, Keanu's one of those that's never gotten in trouble. He's never gotten busted for drugs. Never done... Yeah, wrong! He's not gotten busted for drugs, that's true. But... I'm not sure of the year. I don't have it noted down here. Los Angeles, California. Might need to look that up. Los Angeles, California, he was arrested for drunk driving.
No kidding.
It's the only time he's been arrested for drunk driving, if I remember correctly.
Did not know that. I thought it was clean.
Well, PR people, they probably paid a shit ton to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Another degree of separation with Johnny, though. We were just talking about the movie Platoon. Keanu was asked to play a role in that movie as well and turned it down, saying, quote, "It was too violent." All right, John Wick.
People change.
And this is true. Well, it was about a dog in John Wick, I get it. Yeah, Platoon was just about a whole country full of people. John Wick was about a dog. I totally understand.
Yes. Yeah, right.
But,
that dog really made a difference in the world.
Absolutely. Well, that dog did. His wife sent him that dog after she died.
Yeah.
And those bastards killed it. That's why my mother won't watch the John Wick series.
I never like watching dogs die.
Me either. Because, I mean, they are the most loving creature on this planet, I swear.
They're innocent.
Yes, they are. And you got Polly sitting right in front of you, don't you?
She's laying next to me, keeping me kind of warm. It's kind of chilly back here. Anyway, yeah.
Not going to comment. Yeah, he was actually asked to play the role that Charlie Sheen ended up filling.
Huh. Wow.
So, Oh, the reason he turned down the Speed 2 role. Okay, he's like, the writers of the Speed franchise need a dictionary, because in the first movie, it's a bus. In the second movie, it's a cruise ship. He's like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't have something called Speed and it's a cruise ship.
And you know, I never liked Speed, actually. I was not a fan of the franchise. That was one that was kind of, it just seemed kind of dumb.
It was cute.
It was cute.
And the spinoffs from that, not the actual movie spinoffs, but NCIS used the concept of the movie in one of their episodes. A couple of the CSIs used that same concept in a couple of their episodes. Just the rounds that particular concept made after the movie was pretty cool.
Pretty influential.
Oh yeah, and I don't know if he was trying to go for that whole monotone, I have no emotion kind of voice going on there, but yeah that was, I started to really kind of lose a whole lot of interest in Keanu movies right around the time of Speed, because like another actor I will not name because I keep getting told to leave him alone, there's no change in his voice. If he's happy, he sounds the same as when he's angry, as when he's sad, as when he's, you know, there's no difference. There's the same monotone, you know, just, I'm going to lay the lines out here for you. You take them and do what you want to with them, kind of thing.
Well, you know, Speed is where he solidified his chops as an action hero. That's where you're like, okay, this guy's an action hero.
Right. And action heroes don't necessarily have to do a whole lot as far as the speaking goes.
Right. And that's also where he solidified the monotone.
Yeah, and you were saying that the game that he's in is just hilarious with that.
And so, you know, we always have to kind of talk about the comeback and how the last 10 years it has been really good to be Keanu. Just doing all kinds of really cool projects, and it culminates with the Cyberpunk video game, and it is full mocap, and this is from the studio that developed The Witcher. Everybody loves The Witcher, right?
Oh God, yes. If you don't, you've been living under a rock, because I don't have a TV, and I know The Witcher.
Yeah, and it's the same game studio. It's essentially the same people, and it's a take on a science fiction, late 80s cyberpunk themed tabletop game, and they announced it like 8 years before they released it. And about halfway through it, and a lot of the geeks from the 80s and the 90s, like myself, were going crazy. And then about 4 years into it, they announced that Keanu would be playing the role of Johnny Silverhand, who was in the game lore. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's going to be Johnny Silverhand. And it was a tough launch. The game launched and it was buggy, buggy, buggy. And it was almost a total disaster for them. They were really under hard scrutiny for it. It wasn't a finished product, but Keanu Reeves absolutely killed it. And it's just a crazy performance. He's insane in some parts of it. He's really, and you know what? He does the monotone. In fact, he goes like, primitive monotone, doesn't use prepositions. He's almost like Rorschach from The Watchmen.
Oh, wow.
Like, burn everything down. Get up, samurai. We have a seed to burn. You know, and you're just like, shit. But, and I mean, he just was built for it, and he kills it. And
he does so with this just deadpan expression.
Yeah, you know, he does this, he's almost like Spock, you know, in some parts.
Well, it's like you've got so many actors that are really good at delivering those straight lines, but they end up cracking themselves up. Friggin', what's his name from the Carol Burnett show?
Conway?
Tim Conway was classic for it. That was half of what you watched him for, because he would go to doing these bits and portraying these different characters, and he would literally crack himself up. Harvey.
Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman would do the same, or they would crack each other up. They used to make it a point to try to disrupt the other one's character.
Yeah, that was
That was half of what you watched it for, was to catch those little moments. But he is, I don't think I've ever seen anyone shake him out of that role once he's in it.
Nope.
I would love to see that put to a test, like on a live kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Hell, make it a game show. Who can distract Keanu enough to break him out of his character? I mean, God, you'd make a million. A couple of things that he was considered for and that he either turned down or they went a different direction. Druig in The Eternals.
Huh.
Now, yeah. Druig was the builder, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. And hey, it's a good thing that he skipped it.
Why? It's an amazing movie.
It's one of my very favorite Marvel movies. It really is, but it was a box office failure.
Well, the box office can kiss my ass. It was a great movie.
it was a big loss for Marvel, though. It's got the taint. It's definitely one of the lowest Rotten Tomato rated.
Well, that's because Rotten Tomatoes sucks sometimes. He was also considered for the role of Rico in Starship Troopers, which is... Was it the movie and then the game? Or was it the game and then the movie? Because it's
Movie and then game, yeah.
So it was movie and... So Starship Troopers came out before... I have the game. I have both versions of the game. I have the extended version of the game. The hell is the name of the game? With the Zerg and the Protoss and the... Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. What's the name of the game?
Isn't that Starship Troopers?
The game is not called Starship Troopers.
Yeah, the Zerg, right?
Yeah. That's the bug creatures with the brain bug and all that stuff. But I can't remember the name of the game. And I have it. It's got the game has Kerrigan in it. She's a Psy.
What's her name?
Kerrigan. K-E-R-R-I-G-A-N.
Starcraft.
That's it. I was going to say, I can see the cover of the game right now. I can see it in my head, but I can't read the words.
Nice.
So, Starship Troopers came out before Starcraft did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, because Starcraft, I'm not sure when the game came out, but the movie came out in 1997. But he's also, like another actor we've discussed, Robin Williams, is one for, he'll take a pay cut if it brings what the movie needs to make it successful. He took a 90% think about that, 90% pay cut for the movie The Replacements. Reason being?
Yeah.
Gene Hackman. He took the pay cut so that what he was going to get paid would go to Gene Hackman so they could get him on the film.
Nice. That's classy.
He also deferred $2 million of his salary for Devil's Advocate so that they could convince Al Pacino to be in it. He loves ballroom dancing, which I would have to... I could see that. I mean, with him being he's a large guy. He's a big guy, and I'm not talking about fat. I'm talking about he is tall and thick. He's perfect for ballroom dancing.
Yeah, I think so.
So I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's got moves. I mean, he's pretty graceful.
That his performances. He is.
He has a very fluid kind of movement.
And he does so whether he's walking or, you know, whatever he's doing is, it's almost like it's choreographed. And a lot of that has to do with his training for the Matrix. He actually learned several parts of several different martial arts and learned over 200 martial arts moves for the Matrix.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that they learned a lot. Apparently, Carrie-Anne Moss learned how to drive like an incredibly like stunt driver level.
Oh, yeah.
When they were training her for the second one and they were doing the highway stuff, you know, it was such a grueling film.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted her behind the wheel as much as possible.
Well, I'm sure she wanted to be behind the wheel or else it wouldn't have happened.
And, I mean, it's all behind-the-scenes stuff on the DVDs. And Lawrence Fishburne is driving with her. He is the passenger.
Oh, wow.
And they do like a sequence and they finish it and the windows are rolled down and they yell cut and he goes, this girl can drive. It was badass. And she does too. She's seeping with confidence through the whole thing. They were all very, very well trained. Apparently, Fishburne was well trained too.
Well, I mean, with the movies, with the way things have progressed nowadays, as far as, you know, yeah, you've got all kinds of the CGI and stuff like that that you can do. But the realism, the realistic stuff, the stuff that's actually done for film has gotten much, much higher than it has been. You know, it just, it's incredible some of the things these actors will do. 90% of them do at least some of their own stunts. Because the more the CGI advances, the more, I guess, the human brain advances and is able to pick apart a scene and go, okay, that wasn't real. You know? So yeah. The more realistic it is, the more realistic you make it, the better for the movie. And these actors are going above and beyond to do just that. It's incredible to me. I mean,
I've started watching Matrix Resurrections, and apparently people have been critical of it because they definitely CGI'd, Keanu's face on somebody, and they're like, that just kind of...
It kind of takes away from the movie.
Yeah, and the spirit of what, you know, the Matrix, and they're like, oh, now it's in the Matrix, playing this one from the Matrix.
Right.
You know, now it's computerized.
It's distracting. When you're watching a movie like that, it is distracting.
Yeah. But, you know, and also you talk about how well, you know, these actors kind of get into it and get in the parts. These guys were training when they were making The Matrix. Keanu Reeves, Carrie-Anne Moss, Lawrence.
Fishburne?
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne. They started kind of that trend that a lot of the Marvel people have to go through now. Like, you really have to start training for the part.
6 months ahead of time.
You have to kind of be, you know, certainly physically capable of it. You know, you've got to look real doing it. And I think it started with The Matrix. I really think that mindset of Hollywood filmmaking where you got to train now, sorry. You know, you can't be...
This is not a fluff. This is not a fluff career anymore. You know, you can't just have a pretty face and show up.
Right.
Make it. You actually have to do some heavy lifting. You have to do the training.
Yeah.
You have to go through or you're not going to make it. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right that it did start with The Matrix. I mean, they went above and beyond to film those movies. And the movies are proof that it works.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect, you know, as far as technique, certainly, and everything goes, it was pretty perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right, you know, that would influence, I'm sure, the way he moves for, you know, the rest of his life. You know, that would probably be life-changing for an actor.
Well, if you've ever known anyone who has studied martial arts most of their life, and I've known several, they move differently than those of us who have not.
Yeah. Yeah,
they move differently than the ones who use it as a hobby or as a, like, they use Tai Chi as a focus or a workout. You know, they move differently. There's a different grace to them. You can pick them out. I mean, you can go downtown at any major city and go, oh, yeah, he knows martial arts. Yep, I'm sure he does too. Oh, she does. You know, it's, you can recognize it. But, yeah, it would tend to, learning that much that quickly would tend to influence everything about the way you move.
Yeah. And he seems to be one of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was, once he outgrew the gawky teenage persona, he was graceful anyway. There was a certain way of moving that was just, it wasn't a ballet, but it was definitely a dance. You see what I'm saying? It was very graceful. But after the Matrix movies, that was just enhanced like 100-fold. So, he has a couple of really, really cool quotes, especially about some of his co-stars. And I'm only cutting you off at this point because we're coming down to it. We've only got about 10 minutes left before we have to start doing the sign-offs and stuff. So I wanted to get these in before we had to kill it.
Yeah.
Number one, okay, Keanu claims that he's not smart. Quote, I'm a meathead, man. You got smart people. You got dumb people. I just happen to be dumb. No, I don't think so. I don't agree with you, Keanu.
Right, no, it's pretty.
And he also said, quote, I'm sorry, my existence is not very noble or sublime. Again, I disagree. He is one of the most, he's one of the most gentlemanly gentlemen in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. It's documented.
Oh, God, yes. The reason he keeps his hands to either side, like, he'll put his arms around you if you're taking a picture, but you can see his hands, the flat palms, facing outward, not holding on to anything. He does that for a reason. His mother taught him to do so, was respectful. His mother is his main influence and his major influence. And she was very adamant about, there's certain things a gentleman does, like open a car door, and there's certain things a gentleman does not do. And she ingrained that in him, and he still follows her rules to this day.
You know, he's probably not a touchy-feely kind of person, though, anyway.
I don't know. I think behind closed doors would probably be a bit different. PDAs, though, yeah, I can't see him being caught kissing the girl next door, you know, at the local bar.
You know, it's kind of like, where he and Tom are different. Tom will straight up give you a hug.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tom has no problem giving you a hug or getting a kiss on the cheek. However, Johnny got, got extremely offended. He was doing a meet and greet, and this one girl comes up, and she doesn't say hello. She doesn't give him a hug. She grabs the back of his neck, pulls his head down, and lays one on him.
Yeah.
And he looked at her when she was done and went, do you kiss all total strangers like that?
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't really know what to say. I mean, but he's like, you don't know me. You think you know me because you've seen my movies. You don't know me, and I damn sure don't know you. You know, how dare you invade me like that?
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, it's that American sense of entitlement, what I bitch about constantly.
Yeah.
His take on Patrick Swayze, and he talked about him after his death, but, you know, all the, you know, everybody was doing the whole when Patrick Swayze passed away. Another one gone way before his time. Quote, he was a beautiful person. He was an artist. Patrick, he just wanted to experience life, and for his work, he wanted to take the opportunity that the film gave him. There was some skydiving in this film we did together, talking about Point Break. And as filming was going on, it came to be that Patrick was jumping out of airplanes all the time. I think he had over 30 jumps during the course of filming. And production ended up serving him a cease and desist order. They didn't want him dying, you know, crashing out, doing a damn airplane jump. Until they got the movie filmed anyway. But, so they served him a cease and desist. Quote, he jumps out of air, he listened to the cease and desist until he got to Hawaii and then he disregarded it. He jumps out of planes and he does the flips and all that, falling to the ground, and he does it with an open heart. I'll always remember this buddy for lighting up a room with his presence. I can say what I know, and that's that he lived life to the fullest.
Yeah.
So, that's and awesome. Patrick actually helped teach him how to surf.
What? No way.
Yeah. Oh, Patrick was a huge surfer.
Did not know that.
Yeah. He helped teach Keanu how to surf. He was asked what happiness meant to him, what he thought about happiness, what his idea of happiness was. He says, quote, lying in bed with my lover, riding my bike, sports, happy times with my friends, conversation, learning, the earth, dirt, a beautiful repast with friends, family with wine and glorious food and happy tidings and energy and zest and lust for life. I like being in the desert, in nature, being in extraordinary spaces in nature, high in a tree or down in the dirt, hanging out with my family, being with my sisters.
Yeah. He's got it figured out.
Yeah, he does. Did you notice? Essentially, he's happy wherever he's at.
Yeah.
You know? Whether he's in a tree or down in the ground or with his family or out with friends or whatever, he's happy. And he goes to illustrate the point that you can't look to the outside to make you happy. If you are happy inside yourself, other happy will find you.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Hey, he's right.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying, there's a specific quote I'm trying to find. Oh, here we go. Talking about Speed 2. Quote, they said, you've got to do this. And I said, I read the script and I can't. It's called Speed and it's on a cruise ship. I didn't work for Fox for 15 years. What would surprise you about Keanu? Would it surprise you to learn that he watched a lot of movies, or that he read a lot, or that he listened to a lot of music?
I listen to a lot of music.
Really?
Yeah.
It surprises people a lot that he reads. He's an avid reader. Huh. And now, this is what surprised me. It does not surprise me that he reads. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Right.
What he says is, I just finished Proust's A La Recherche du Temps Perdu and John Updike's Rabbit Novels. You know the Rabbit Novels, right?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. Now, the Rabbit Novels, I understand, but... The research on the Temps Perdu, no, not familiar with that one, but it's Proust. I wouldn't be. But yeah, he just got done reading Proust. That would surprise me. Not the fact that he was reading, but the fact that he was reading Proust.
You know, another thing they did on when they were doing The Matrix, the Wachowskis made them read... there were some philosophical, like, the nature of consciousness, you know, that whole deep thing. Are you living in a simulation?
Right.
And there was some, like, classic, it was like 18th century French philosophy stuff or whatever.
Right.
And all three of them took to it very well, apparently. Like, they really ended up learning, like, the philosophical. I'm like, geez.
Wow. Yeah, I know. But
so him being a reader, yeah, I guess. I mean, I and him reading some Turing shit like that, sure.
Something else that surprised Keanu. Now, I had to look up and see who David Geffen was because I wasn't familiar with the name. Sorry, guys.
The record guy.
Yeah, don't fry me. But yeah, I did not recognize the name. He says, quote, "People were saying that David Geffen and I had gotten married, and it just blew me away. Not that they thought I was gay, but that they thought I could land a guy that hot."
What? I don't remember that. there was a rumor going around that he and David Geffen got married?
Yeah. But yeah, he also claims that he is not good-looking or sexy. He says, "I'm not good looking or sexy. However, I am not hopeless."
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, he's got some brilliant ones. One of my favorites, and I'm not seeing it here, but I have it memorized. Someone told him about something or other. Told him he'd have to bite the bullet. Everybody's heard that phrase. You got to bite the bullet and just do it, right?
Yeah.
Told him he had to bite the bullet. He said, "Yeah, but I don't have to eat the whole fucking gun."
Right, right.
That's brilliant.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the simple act of paying attention can take you a long way.
That's a really good one, too. I've heard that one, yeah.
And another one of my favorites. Falling in love and having a relationship are two totally different things. Because, I mean, you know as well as I do, and I'm sure everybody listening out here, you've got that friend. They fall in love every other week. You know, oh, I love him. He's the love of my life. I'd die without him. That little bastard, you wouldn't believe what he did.
Yeah.
You've got those friends. You know who I'm talking about. Each and every week.
They fall in love a lot.
They fall in love all the damn time. Yep. Yeah. Major, major difference from actually putting the time, the effort, and the work into actually having a relationship. If you've got a relationship that has absolutely no problems, you don't have a relationship. Sorry, you don't. Relationships are going to have issues.
Yeah.
One more quote, and then I'll be almost done. Okay, two quotes. One on drugs and one about River. He was asked if he'd ever done drugs. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I've had wonderful experiences. I mean, really wonderful. In teaching, personal epiphanies about life, about different perspectives, help with different perspectives that you have. You know what I mean? Relationships to nurture, relationships with the self, with other people, with events." Yeah, sounds like he likes shrooms.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of psychotropic-y.
Oh, yeah. But about River, a lot of people blame Hollywood for what happened to River Phoenix. And he says, no, you can't blame Hollywood for what happened. Kids are doing drugs everywhere in the world. He had his own very personal problems. These are things I will never discuss with the press. They're just too personal. He had a self-destructive streak to his personality. He was angry and hurt that he couldn't even have a private life once he became famous. He couldn't deal with having his private life on the front page all the time.
Mm.
And yeah. River was what? How old was he when? I mean, he was not very old.
He was like 21, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he was out of his teens, but barely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get it. I wouldn't want my private life splashed all over the place either.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of people just, I mean, you do have to have that wiring, you know.
Well, or you have to be like Tom and Keanu. strong enough to maintain the barrier between your personal and your public personas.
Yeah, it seems like that is the best way to handle it. Some people can do it that way. Some people are more, I don't know. Yeah, there seem to be different methods.
Well, it's like Johnny, I think, is absolutely incapable of keeping that separate.
Yeah.
He likes to talk too much about his girlfriends, whatever. He likes to discuss what's going on in his life. And I guess it's like he is opening the door and letting his fans in. But you can't do that and then turn around and wonder why they think they know you. It's like my daughter has said many, many times, you can't have it both ways. So.
True.
But, all right, final question, baby. Keanu, is he more like Tom or like Johnny?
More like Johnny.
Do you think he's more like Johnny?
I do.
I couldn't pick. There's no way I could tell you that I think he's more like one than the other. It's such an even divide. If they're two sides of a coin, if Tom and Johnny are two sides of a coin, Keanu's that plating in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, there's a. He is kind of a bridge between the two.
That absolutely.
Still a lot of similarities with Tom.
Very much so, and a lot. He's okay. Another. How old do you think he is?
He's like 58. Yeah, he's like 1964.
Damn, you're good. Yeah, he'll be celebrating his birthday in just a couple of days.
Well, he's the measure. I mean, if you can go into your 50s, you know, hoping to look like, you're like, goddamn, China, you know.
My sister thought you were, yeah. My sister thought you looked like Keanu.
Well, I mean, with his, like.
With the facial hair and the long hair, yeah, you do resemble him.
Yes, yeah.
You do. Yeah, if he'll ever get his info up on the bio with a picture, if I can talk him into putting a picture up or letting me put a picture up, I'll put it to a vote. Y'all can say whether you think he looks like him or not.
I want to get the Matrix sunglasses first.
You don't need them. Both of y'all got those beautiful chocolate eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Oh, and we are right there. So yeah. We did get any last words on Keanu before we close it out.
No, it's an amazing career. And I think that he does parallel the boys a lot.
Agreed.
I am probably going to go and finish Resurrections. I just really like Keanu Reeves.
So do I. And I do want to add one thing. I've said it before, I'll say it again. These people deserve their own privacy and respect. They, if you see them, give them the same respect you would want. You know, don't bum rush them. Don't. You know, just be kind, because just as famous as they are and just as many triumphs as they've had just as many personal griefs and agonies. So keep that in mind if you ever meet one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keanu, we love you.
My man.
So, guys, we are open to discussion as far as other actors that you would like to hear about or more that you would like to hear from. If we've done a show and haven't covered a topic you would like to hear about, let us know. It's real simple to get a hold of us. We have the email, which is depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. No spaces, no caps. We have the blog, which is depheadsandhiddlestoners.com. Or you can go to barryreese.net, click the link. We have a dedicated phone line, which I will give you just as soon as Carrie gives you his information.
All right, true. Yes, yes. So, definitely, try and reach out to me on Facebook. I think I'm gonna reactivate it for fantasy football purposes. try and find Carrie Kelso. So I'll be on a little bit, I guess. Also, PlayStation Network Traveler 2300, no spaces, 1L. And then, of course, Mako3303@hotmail.com.
And there we go. And then we do have, of course, our dedicated phone line, which it'd be a whole lot easier for me to keep this damn thing active if it would ring every now and then. That number is 949-373-5476. If you're not answered when you call us, leave us a message. Follow the instructions. Leave us a message. We will get back to you, and that is a 100% guarantee. We will get back to you. Let us know where you are, like when to call, so that we don't call at 3 in the morning unless that's when you want us to call. You know, give us a time zone. Give us an approximate time you'd like us to call. Let us know who you want to talk to, if there's someone specific. We'll make sure we get that done, and we'll make sure it happens for you, okay? Anything else, Carrie?
Nope.
Okay, next week. Because we did the 3 that we talked about several weeks ago. So, what do you think next week?
I don't know. Let me think on it.
I've got a couple of ideas since we've been doing the whole degrees of separation type deal. I was thinking maybe kind of look into the members of Hollywood Vampires.
Hey, that's a great idea. Actually, yeah. We talk about them a lot. We should explore it.
And, of course, number one, you got to do it. He's the man. How about we do Alice Cooper next week?
Oh, wow. Yes.
That work for you?
You know what, actually? Let's hold off on Alice Cooper for a couple of weeks, maybe, because I'd like to kind of get towards Halloween with some Alice.
All right, how about Joe Perry then?
Yeah, great.
All right.
Very summer. Very end of summer, Joe Perry.
He is. He really is. He's just kind of mellow.
Kind of hot, you know?
Yeah. All right, guys. You got our contact information. You know what we're doing next week. Make sure you come back and join us. We will be here. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. We're out.
Links.